Hey everybody, this is photographer RC Concepcion with Photo Promos, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with the amazing Sharky James. Enjoy.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 82. Hasselblad set to make a bold move. In this episode, Hasselblad has something big in the works. Former Kelby One faces launch a new venture. A Soviet-era lens is a great find. A German man takes Nikon to task. A possible solution for all those photos clogging your phone. And Luis in Mexico City has a question about kit lenses. All that and more in episode 82 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, RC, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Most of you listening to this show know the name Rafael Concepcion, better known as RC Online, for his years of creating great content for educator Scott Kelby across countless shows, instructional videos, and books. In fact, RC's book about HDR, entitled The HDR Book, was a massive success and is worth a look if you want to do HDR properly. He and others have moved on from Kelby One now and have some great things in the works, which we'll get to later in this show. In the meantime, if you want to check out RC's work, get his book, and see what else he's up to, visit him online at aboutrc.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 82 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And it's that subscribing part that's really important. So if you're in the podcast app in iTunes or elsewhere, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get every episode, and we'd greatly appreciate that. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. When you think the name Hasselblad, you think the word prosumer, right? Okay, me neither. In fact, along with Leica, it's one of the few luxury brands out there and have been so for many decades now. So what the heck am I talking about with this prosumer nonsense? I should probably explain before people think I've lost my mind. Well, more than I already have, of course. I mean, you guys listen to the show. You know how I am. Our friends over at Photo Rumors have received fresh info from two different sources that Hasselblad, a company known for its amazing and amazingly expensive cameras, is set to announce a prosumer-level camera the middle of next week. Now, earlier this year, Hasselblad CEO Perry Oesting said this when asked by ePhotoZine about his comments regarding broadening the appeal of Hasselblad. Those were his words, broadening the appeal. Of that, he told them, quote, "What would fit is something aimed at the prosumer, which we see as the dedicated amateur, passionate enthusiast, semi-professional, etc., already shooting with a DSLR. Part of this audience already buys into the Leica, and our first step would be to look at this area, prices, and portability," end quote. Now that was a huge tip off there, and I think everyone knew that something was probably in the works. And we've since learned that Hasselblad has a live stream event scheduled for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016 at 1400 CET, that's also known as 2 p.m. Central European Time, or 9 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States. And they're describing it as, quote, "a game changer in the world of photography," end quote. But what kind of camera would this be? A Hasselblad DSLR? A mirrorless body of some sort? Or just a more affordable version of the medium format cameras that they've been known for? Either way, this is an interesting move by Hasselblad. We're seeing movement out of Hasselblad that we haven't seen before, and that's pretty darn exciting. Now, there are rumors floating around that it's going to be a mirrorless medium format camera, which actually uses the same sensor that's in their 50C digital back. And if that's true, this would be a massively bold move for the company. For one, wow. Secondly, Stepping out of the higher end market is a departure for a company that's been known for its premium brand, and their brand could be seen in a completely different way. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do to keep the shareholders happy, right? But if the quality of this new camera is high and the cool factor is off the charts, especially if it's a mirrorless medium format camera, which a lot of people really, really want, I don't think they're going to have a problem at all with image. They'll be known for the premium stuff and the really high-end prosumer stuff as well, and I think that's just fine for them. You got to change with the times, and here in 2016, you got to move camera bodies. And whatever this supposed prosumer camera turns out to be, which I personally feel is going to be a mirrorless medium format camera, it's not going to be cheap. It'll surely be on the higher end of the prosumer classification, no doubt about it, especially if it is indeed a mirrorless medium format camera. Because medium format does not equal inexpensive. Not today, maybe 20 years from now, but not now. Remember, their CEO mentioned Leica after all. And those aren't cheap at all. I mean, that's doctor and dentist money right there. Now, some are going to buy this camera, of course, just to say that they own a Hasselblad, much like those guys that we all know who buy an old Porsche just to say that they own one. I mean, it's up on blocks and it's undrivable, but they still can say that they own a Porsche. You know, those guys. Seriously, though, like many, but not all Leica owners, people are going to buy one and then talk about it online rather than actually using it. So there's that. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Hasselblad announces this coming week. If it is a mirrorless medium format camera, that is going to make a whole lot of people happy. And hopefully they've been saving up because it is going to be a massive chunk of change. Whatever they announce this coming Wednesday, we'll let you know in episode 83. So stay tuned. Next. If you follow the photography world pretty closely online, you recognize the voice of RC Concepcion. For years, he and others were familiar faces and voices over at the Kelby One Empire, and now these amazingly talented, wonderful people are creating one of their own. RC, as he's known to everyone, along with colleague Mia McCormick, have teamed up to form a new company called Photo Promos, and that's with an F, by the way. According to the duo, quote, "Photo Promos is a home for great deals, and that's not changing, but we're excited to bring you an entirely new element to the business. Education. If you're just starting out in Photoshop, Lightroom, photography, or video, we want to provide the basics you need to get up to speed. No frills, no extraordinary shooting situations that you cannot reproduce, just honest, easy concepts that you can understand, and most importantly, afford." End quote. Along with Kevin Agron, they decided to build the educational element of Photo Promos around three main tenets, and those are, quote, one, "The education we bring must solve problems and bring inspiration that you can immediately put to use. Two, we must work with our partners to produce third-party content that educates and informs. Our job is to show how technology can be used in what we do, and we do that through education. And three, we need to be focused on not wasting your time. Each tip, blog post, course, or package needs to be educationally dense. Your time is valuable, and we're grateful you spend it here." End quote. To find out more about what they're doing, hit the show notes for episode 82 over at petapixel.com/podcast, where we'll link you over to RC's blog post regarding this announcement. And from time to time, check out what they're doing over at photopromos.com. And don't forget that's with an F, because they're going to be rolling out their training, of course, across the year. You know, with this crew involved, it's going to be some great stuff, no doubt. I've learned so much from RC and the gang over the years and wish them well in this new endeavor. Next. We talk about lenses all the time here on the show, and most of them, of course, start in the hundreds and reach into the thousands of dollars. All great glass, but they'll set you back a good chunk of change. But what if we told you there's a sleeper lens out there that you can snag for somewhere between $30 and $100 US on eBay if you don't mind a little bit of heft and manually focusing it? The lens I'm referring to is the Soviet-era Jupiter 21M, a 200mm f4 beast of a lens that's worth all the trouble to carry it around, as if you get a good copy, one that survived all these years without getting mold inside and other maladies, is actually pretty darn sharp. Well, our friend Matthew Stern over at his popular YouTube channel put one through its paces and says that the only downside of this great lens is how big and heavy it is, saying, quote, "It's almost as big as a milk bottle, and at 1 kilo, it's a really heavy lens," end quote. Now, 1 kilo, by the way, is 2.2 pounds, and for most people, that's going to start to feel pretty darn heavy after a little while. But hey, for about $100 US or so on the high end, well, until everyone learns about this lens and drives the prices up on eBay, this lens deserves some serious consideration. It's tack sharp, it looks wonderful in photos and video, and you definitely have to check it out, I think. That is, if you like to manually focus. If you don't even bother looking at it. Next ski. Hey, I'm going to do the Russian thing whenever it comes up. It amuses me. Let's move on. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. So, what do you do when you buy a camera and it's not as advertised? Or at least you feel like it isn't? Well, you go public, of course. And that's exactly what a photographer in Germany has done. According to a German website, the owner of a brand new Nikon D500, which is an outstandingly awesome camera, by the way, has filed a complaint against the company and has even sent Nikon what they're classifying as a cease and desist notice. Yeah, as you can tell, this guy is pretty darn serious about his new D500. I mean, he spent a lot of money on it, right? Now, among the things he's demanding is that Nikon stops advertising the D500 as being a camera with, quote, integrated Wi-Fi, end quote. As unlike other Wi-Fi-enabled cameras by the company, the D500 actually requires a Bluetooth connection and Nikon SnapBridge app, which is currently only available on Android. I bet you thought I was going to say iOS, right? It's always iOS, but this time, Android got the nod. See, this is what I don't get about Nikon. And again, I own more Nikon gear than my Sony gear, so I've got a lot invested here. And I'm not the only one saying this, as we all know. But why, at this stage in the game, in 2016, when you're not exactly rocking it financially like the other companies out there, would you not have an iOS app ready to go along with the one for Android? That makes absolutely no sense to me. You can't tell me that Nikon couldn't develop the iOS app to go along with the Android one. It doesn't cost that much money to do that. Now, granted, not everyone uses the Wi-Fi capabilities of their camera, although more and more are these days. But imagine how disappointed iOS customers are when they try to send their photos to their iPhone or iPad, only to find out that that is not going to happen. Now, if you've got $750 US burning a hole in your pocket, you can buy Nikon's WT7A wireless adapter, but it is such a ridiculous amount of money that most people just aren't going to pay for it. So this German man, who's all worked up about his D500, and rightfully so, says that independent experts have told him that the D500's Wi-Fi could easily be fully enabled with a small firmware upgrade that would take all of a day, maybe a day and a half to develop. Again, you can tell that this guy really, really wants the Wi-Fi to work in his D500 because he's going to a whole lot of effort here to make this happen. He says, though, that his beef really isn't the lack of Wi-Fi functionality, but actually the way he feels like the camera was advertised. In other words, he feels like he was duped here. He says the D500's marketing materials, as well as the actual box that it comes in, are really misleading. And even those who are tech savvy might actually think that they're good to go when it comes to its Wi-Fi capabilities. Now, reportedly, Nikon has offered the man a full refund and have pointed out that an iOS version of the SnapBridge app is coming in August 2016, but that's as far as they've gone. Do I believe that Nikon intended to mislead people here? No. It just makes no sense for them to do that. And not with Wi-Fi. I mean, why tick people off when they realize that it's not available for their smartphone's operating system? That said, Nikon, in my opinion, really dropped the ball when it came to making SnapBridge available for all. And with the shape that the company is in compared to Canon and others, I don't think that was a wise move on their part. Next. If you're like me, you use the camera that you have handy. And often, that's your smartphone, right? And also like me, you probably have thousands upon thousands of photos on your phone and are constantly running out of space. I mean, you know the move. You can't take any more photos. You have to quickly go through your images and then delete a bunch. And then maybe you wanted them. That's why you kept them in the first place. Or you're just not really good about getting rid of them as you go. And all of a sudden, your phone is full. You can't take any photos. You can't take any videos. Everything is sluggish. And it's just not fun. That and the best photo opportunities always seem to happen when your phone tells you that it's full. I mean, imagine if you actually see a UFO or Bigfoot or a unicorn or something and your phone won't let you take any more photos. We just can't have that now, can we? Nope. Well, if you're an iOS user, Avast has a solution for you. The company best known for its antivirus software has a new app that helps iOS users free up space, and it's called PhotoSpace. Imagine that. It just writes itself. An app that's said to increase your photo storage by up to 7 times. Now, the concept behind it is pretty darn simple. It works on the premise that for most users, saving the high-resolution version is just not necessary because most people aren't making prints from these photos, right? Most photos are likely destined for Facebook or Instagram and are never going to be seen on paper. So what Avast PhotoSpace does is it takes your photos and stores them in a much smaller version on your phone, rather than the overkill that is full resolution. According to company president Gagan Singh, quote, Avast survey results show that more than half of iOS users have 16 gigabytes or less storage available on their devices, which can be easily consumed by photos and apps. With Avast PhotoSpace, users can free up storage on their devices without having to agonize over which photos to save and which to delete, end quote. Now, if you're wondering what happens to the high-res versions of the photos that are ditched, you'll be happy to hear that there's an option to save those photos up to your cloud accounts, such as Dropbox, Google Drive, etc., rather than having them deleted. And to not blow out your data plan, you can set it so you can upload them only when you're connected to Wi-Fi. So if you're constantly filling up your phone with photos and are in need of a solution that doesn't require upgrading to one with more capacity, the free Avast PhotoSpace may be for you. That is, if you have an iPhone or an iPad. Today we have a listener question via email from Luis in Mexico City, Mexico. He writes, quote, I am a big fan of your very informative, just as entertaining photography podcast. I wonder what your take is on camera kit lenses. I have been doing photography for several years and have managed to get work purchased, published, and even exhibited with all kinds of gear. Mostly inexpensive gear, as I don't work full-time off of what could otherwise be a very expensive endeavor. When going on the web, I find a lot of bashing of kit lenses that come with entry-level and mid-range cameras. I own several lenses to meet particular needs, but are kit lenses really that bad? Thanks for the podcast, and keep up the great work. End quote. Thank you so much for the kind words, Luis, and thank you for your great question. In a way, you kind of answered your own question because you've proven that you can indeed get photos purchased, published, and exhibited by using a kit lens. Listen, the kit lenses today are way better than lenses that we had many, many years ago. These companies have been able to make great use of computer-aided design, modern manufacturing, better materials, etc., and as a result, have created kit lenses that definitely hold their own. That said, kit lenses are not always ideal. What you get with the more expensive lenses, of course, are higher quality glass, better build quality, you know, metal versus what's often, but not always, plastic, faster lenses, and sometimes constant apertures, etc. Image quality wise, the more expensive lenses are superb, whereas the kit lenses these days are good to very good. It's not like years ago when most of them were not very sharp, and thus there was a massive difference in quality. Today, you can get amazing images with kit lenses. A reason to go for the more expensive glass rather than a kit lens is when you need a constant aperture, whether it's so you can gather more light or you just want to be able to dial in your settings and not mess with them as you change focal lengths, because that often happens. Let's say, for instance, that your son plays high school football. The 70-200mm f2.8 is one of the go-to lenses that you see on the sidelines all the time at high school games. That constant f2.8 aperture that you can get with that is going to allow in a lot of light versus the kit lens, where the aperture often gets worse as you zoom. I mean, it might stop down to 5.6 or even f6.3, and that's just not doing you any favors at all, especially when it gets darker. Remember, just going from f2.8 to f4 is cutting your light gathering in half. And if you're at f5.6, that cuts the light in half yet again. So if you were getting 1/2000th of a second at f2.8, at f4, you're now getting 1/1000th of a second. And if you're at f5.6, you're only getting 1/500th of a second. So for sports, that's not ideal. You want something like an f2.8 lens. But if you have a kit lens, that's not exactly going to be ideal for sports. You're going to need a lot of light. And you're going to have to shoot games which are in bright sunlight, because night football and other night sports or shooting in dark gyms, not going to happen unless you crank the ISO way, way up. And then you've got digital noise to deal with. Also, kit lenses are not ideal if you want that creamy background blur that we call bokeh. You know, that's when you focus on your subject and everything in the background just blurs away and you've got your focus literally and figuratively right there on your subject versus seeing a whole lot behind them. So there are definitely reasons why you could make the case that the more expensive lenses are a better choice than kit lenses, but on their own merits, kit lenses are generally perfectly fine these days. You know, technique over gear, as I always say. It's when you've reached the limitations of your kit lens that you want to consider the more expensive lenses, you know, the pro lenses. And again, when you need better build quality, because let's say you're shooting in the rainforest or other crazy conditions, or even just rain in general, the kit lens is likely going to fail you at some point. You know, they're just not made to withstand all that. Most of them, if not all of them, don't have very good weather sealing or weather sealing at all. And so bad things can happen when you use those in the elements. And of course, if you're tired of your aperture changing as you zoom, giving you less light gathering power as you go out to the further end, the more telephoto end, and that causes it to mess with your settings and have you increase your ISO, which makes things look worse, that's when the better lenses come in. But today's kit lenses, for the most part, are going to be just fine for a lot of people. You know, I think that everyone knows when they feel like the gear is holding them back and it's time for an upgrade. Some people, of course, they're like, oh, this is not happening. I'm not going to get a photo published in Sports Illustrated with this kit lens, so I need to spend $2,000-$3,000 on a lens. That's not a good idea. You've got to know what you're shooting and what lens you need and purchase accordingly. Now, those online who you're seeing bash kit lenses are mostly gear snobs. They might not even own the better glass, but they parrot what they've heard others say online, and I want you to ignore these people. I mean, look at what you've been able to accomplish with kit lenses. You're proving them all wrong. So thank you again for your question, Luis. I greatly appreciate it, brother. And if you too would like to have your question answered here on the show, you can email me at lensshark@gmail.com. But I would love to hear your voice and have you ask it and play it here on the show. Hit petapixel.com/podcast and look for our voicemail widget for that. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 82 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LenSshark. And don't forget, you can help support this show by supporting our sponsor, FreshBooks. Head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter Petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. They've got a 30-day free trial for you, and I'd like for you to check it out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 83. Well, it's F8 and 250 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.